Welcome to Personnel Matters, the official podcast of the Air Force Personnel Center, hosted by Major General Jefferson O'Donnell.
Welcome to Personnel Matters. I am Major General Jefferson O'Donnell, commander of AFPC and your podcast host. I'd like to also welcome back your Air Force's Personnel Center Executive Director, Ms. Kimberly Toney. Welcome back, Ms. Toney.
Hello, sir, and thank you for the opportunity to continue to serve with you.
We're here to provide information and updates on the programs and processes at the Air Force's Personnel Center that guide your career. This podcast is also a direct line where you can reach out to me with questions, concerns, or suggestions. Your Air Force's Personnel Center executes more than 400 programs covering the entire lifecycle of Department of the Air Force military and civilian personnel. Today, we're going to discuss another distinct portion of our total force, the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve, like the Air National Guard, is a component of the United States Air Force. Its mission is to provide combat-ready forces to fly, fight, and win. Now, the majority of Air Force reservists serve part-time, typically 1 week in a month and 2 weeks a year, and a total of over 65,000 reservists support a wide range of missions from flying and maintenance to medical and cyber operations around the world. Now, most of the reserve mission sets mirror and supplement the regular Air Force. However, the Air Force Reserve has three special and unique mission sets: aerial spray, weather reconnaissance, which you know them as hurricane hunters, and aerial firefighting. And I like the reference to them. They're known as earth, wind, and fire. Ms. Toney, tell us about statuses a little bit.
Absolutely. There are several different statuses that our reserve partners serve in. One is the traditional reserve, also known as unit reservists, make up 71% of the force, serving part-time, typically 1 week in a month and 2 weeks a year. You also have Air Reserve Technician. These are full-time civil service employees who are also required to be members of the Air Force Reserve as a condition of their employment. Next, we have Individual Mobilization Augmentee. These are individual reservists assigned to the regular Air Force organizations, typically above wing level, higher graded, and more specialized. Next, we have the Active Guard Reserve, and AGRs are reservists on full-time Title 10 orders. Now, if you're confused, it's okay. That's why we make sure we stay linked with professionals like our subject matter expert for today.
Yes, Ms. Toney, that's perfect. And here to talk about how we support Air Force reservists is Colonel Regina Reyes. Colonel Reyes began her Air Force career in the regular Air Force as a manpower officer, personnel officer, and ROTC instructor. She served 8 years before transitioning over to the Air Force Reserve as a force support officer. Today, she serves as the reserve advisor to AFPC, keeping us apprised of reserve command priorities that inform how AFPC executes total force personnel programs and policies. Welcome, Colonel Reyes.
Thank you, sir. I'm very happy to be here today. There are many touch points between AFPC and the Air Force Reserve Command. And because of that, as a reserve advisor, I'm placed here to help facilitate those touch points, to ensure that the right people are connected between AFPC, AFRC, and ARPC to deal with the issues of the day, but also to help develop strategic solutions for more enduring challenges that face our total force. And as mentioned, AFPC and ARPC work very closely together. And the two centers, they have similar roles and many opportunities on a daily basis to interface. So one example of that, when a customer calls the Total Force Service Center here at AFPC and they select the Reserve Guard option, they are connected to a service technician here in San Antonio who is trained to specifically address Guard and Reserve issues. If those issues cannot be resolved at the service technician level, that call is then escalated to ARPC up in Denver, and it's assigned to a subject matter expert for backshop support. So from AFRGEN to military and family care, military pay, specialist sessions, personnel systems, and on, the connections between AFPC, ARPC, and AFRC are really too many to mention in this short podcast. But I will say, many people think AFPC only does assignments. And that is so far from the truth. But the funny thing is, the one thing AFPC does not do for the Air Force Reserve is assignments.
Can you tell us why the status a reservist is serving in is vital to the personnel support AFPC provides working with AFRC and the A1?
Absolutely, Ms. Toney. Earlier, you had touched upon the various reserve statuses, and it really does matter what status a reservist is in when we talk about support. A very serious example would be casualty assistance. So General O'Donnell mentioned earlier, over 70% of our reservists serve in a part-time status. So often, unfortunately, we see situations where a reservist passes away and they're not in a military status. In those situations, the Air Reserve Personnel Center Casualty Assistance Office is the primary point of contact for casualty reporting and assistance. If a reservist passes away while in status, Title 10, or active duty for training and inactive duty for training, which is what we consider our unit training assemblies or weekend duties, the Air Force Personnel Center here, the Casualty Matters Division, will take lead on coordinating casualty notification and assistance.
Well, you hit upon a very important topic, and that is casualty notification. So I'd like to take this moment to remind everyone to please make sure your virtual record of emergency data, or VRED, and your service member's group life insurance, or SGLI, information is up to date.
That's a good reminder, Ms. Toney, because, you know, no matter what it is, it's those unfortunate moments, you want to be as prepared as possible, because then you can focus on what's important. You know, taking care of family members or survivors and that they're taken care of, because we have all the right information to support your families should tragedy happen. So a great reminder. Now, in addition to your role as reserve advisor, Colonel Reyes, you also support a vital part of our disability evaluation system. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, sir, absolutely. The part that resides here at AFPC is the Physical Evaluation Board. And that includes the informal board, or the IPEB, and the formal board, or the FPEB. So if a service member is determined to have a medical condition that makes them potentially unfit for continued service in the military, their case file and their medical records will be reviewed by the IPEB, and the IPEB will make a medical retention decision. And that decision could be that the service member is returned to duty, or they're discharged with severance pay, they might be placed on the temporary disability retired list, or they might be permanently retired. For reserve members whose medical conditions were not incurred or aggravated in the line of duty, they'll come to the PEB to receive a fit or unfit determination, and that's a non-compensatory process. The service member can appeal their IPEB retention decision and meet the formal board, the FPEB, with new and compelling information. And they'll often meet assisted by the Office of Disability Counsel, or they might procure their own civilian legal representation. For any Guard or Reserve member that meets the FPEB, there is a bylaw requirement to have an Air Reserve Component board member. And Air Reserve Component comprises of both the Guard and Reserve. And this is where I come in. So part of my role is to assist the other board members with kind of talking through what the challenges might be from a Guard Reserve perspective of how their medical condition might impact their ability to serve. I'd like to take this opportunity to provide an important takeaway for any reservist or guardsman who might be listening to this podcast today. Engage with your reserve or guard medical unit staff if you incur any kind of medical injury or illness. Oftentimes, reservists, guardsmen, they don't understand this process fully. When they're injured or become ill, they need to ask for a line of duty determination to be done, especially if the injury or illness happens while in status. Too often when we have ARC members that meet the FPEB and they want to claim that a condition of theirs was in the line of duty, they don't have that line of duty determination or their Air Force Form 348 that indicates that it was or was not in the line of duty. And not having one may make them ineligible for military disability benefits in the future.
Well, that is indeed a large role that you play. and representing Reserve and Guard members is very important. Also in the role, I'd like to share that Colonel Reyes is here to help anybody that's on active duty take the opportunity to look at the Guard or the Reserve as their next step. The Palace Chase and Palace Front programs allow you to seamlessly transfer into a part-time or full-time Air Force Reserve or Air National Guard opportunity. So while we'd love for you to stay in uniform, just stay in this family because you'll be well taken care of through the transition as you continue to serve.
Thanks, Ms. Toney. And I just want to take the opportunity to say thank you to Colonel Reyes because I've had the chance to refer several officers and airmen to her about that fact. I didn't realize they could continue serving and then being able to connect them with those opportunities. And Colonel Reyes is an outstanding officer and also has been training for a while for a half marathon. And how's that going?
Well, sir, I was able to check the box on my first half marathon on December 7th, the San Antonio Half Marathon. It was a wonderful experience. I hope to continue in my training and got my sights set on the Air Force Half Marathon next.
Nice. Well, congrats on the first half and good luck to you as you continue training.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'd like to wrap up today's podcast and touch on how AFBC is embedding artificial intelligence directly into our processes. We've already incorporated it and other tools into our daily battle rhythm, and it's automating our administrative grind. Now, take the Transfer of Education Benefits Program. A bot now processes up to 700 applications a month automatically, freeing up countless man hours. Simple email responses that used to be sent one by one are now fully automated. And don't worry, there's still a human in the process because that customer interaction and the idea that personnel is personal is very important to us. We are also using artificial intelligence to make smarter talent management decisions. A sophisticated model now optimizes the initial assignments for nearly 3,000 new ROTC and Academy graduates, placing them where they best can serve. We are even using machine learning to analyze promotion data and predictive AI to identify the best candidates for career fields, saving money and reducing training attrition. On the civilian side, a digital hiring platform uses AI to streamline recruitment and reduce bias. And for daily tasks, custom GPT tools are being deployed on the secure network to do things like validate tuition assistance requests in mere seconds. From automating bureaucracy and accelerating key decisions to making smarter career placements and unlocking critical data insights, we're proving that AI is a critical tool for building faster, data-driven, more efficient, and more lethal air and space forces. Thank you, Ms. Toney. Thank you, Colonel Reyes, for joining us today. January is National Mentoring Month, and in our next podcast, we will discuss the crucial role mentors play and the power of supportive relationships in education, career development, and personal growth. As always, if you have a question or issue you would like us to address, look for our contact information in the comments. Links to the information and processes discussed today are located in our summary. From your Air Force Personnel Center, where our mission is people first, I'm General O'Donnell. Thank you for listening.
We hope you found this episode informative and helpful in taking charge of your career. Be sure to subscribe on Divots and visit our AFPC website for more resources. Have a question or topic suggestion? Reach out to us. Links to the sites and services presented in this episode of Personnel Matters, along with our website and email address, are on the podcast page. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.